It is our holiday, and we should be celebrating it. And maybe a Christmas party is not that big of a deal, but coming together Christmas Eve, this year coming together on Christmas Day, I can't think of a better way to celebrate Christmas than be together with family and church. You know, we're here because God loved the world so much that he sent his only son. And the amazing thing is, he had this plan from the very beginning of time. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned and God is telling them the consequences of that sin. And one of the things he says to Mary is that the serpent will, and I'm gonna paraphrase a little bit, nip at his heel, but the son will crush the serpent's head. From the beginning, God had planned for this event that we celebrate tonight. My favorite Christmas story is an odd one. We read the Christmas story from Luke and Matthew, but my favorite one really is from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I don't know why we put up so many lights during Christmas time. I've never researched that, but what an appropriate time to do so, yes? We celebrate when the light of the world was finally revealed to us. We were in darkness. It's interesting because John talks about darkness, but he doesn't really go into detail of what darkness is. What is darkness? I mean, the sun comes up every day. So it can't mean that. What darkness? This last year I've been, or towards the end of this year, I've been kind of just thinking about this last year and thinking about how I've lived my life. And I can't help but use this word darkness, because within me, even though I'm saved, there still remains a bit of darkness. What do you think? There's still a bit of darkness in you as well? I don't think it's any surprise that when Paul writes to the Romans, the Roman church there, that he talks about us not conforming to this world any longer, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And he uses, in the Greek, there's some verbiage there that means that we should constantly not be conformed to this world, but we should constantly be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He gives the idea that this transformation that we're supposed to go through is ongoing throughout our life. And that confirms to me that means that there's still a bit of darkness in us. When I came to know Christ, I didn't know everything that the Word said. And I didn't know everything that pleased Him and displeased Him. And as I live my life as a Christian, I learn. I feel very thankful and grateful that I'm a pastor who preaches, because it makes me dig into the Word. Sometimes I think I preach a sermon and God had me preach that sermon just because I needed to hear it. Not because anybody else needed to hear it, because I needed to hear it. I got a bit of darkness in me. Scripture goes, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What a concept. Children of God. You, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. I've heard the world say this before. Well, we're just all children of God. No, we're not. John makes it pretty clear. The person who receives Jesus Christ, receives the light into his life, that person is a child of God. And if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. I can't think of any greater father to have, can you? What a position. But as children, God, as children who are still progressing, I have six children. Excuse me, I have two foster boys right now. Children are in a progress. They're in a process of whatever. Sometimes I don't think it's maturing. But they're in a process. And as they're going through that process, sometimes I have to be the bad guy, and I have to discipline. I have to do things that I don't particularly enjoy. But I'm doing it because I love my children, and I want my children to become the adults that not just society expects them to be, but really that God expects them to be. God is the same way with us. He sees right straight to our hearts. Sometimes we try to put up these walls and these imaginary walls, and I don't know, maybe we think that God can't see through them. But he can't. And he sees straight into our heart. And he knows what we're thinking. He knows what our intentions are. And he knows that there is darkness that needs to be dealt with. And the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Now, what does that mean? Grace upon grace. The greatest act of grace, I believe, is allowing us to be reconciled to himself through the death of Jesus Christ. I think that's the greatest act of grace. Can there be any more grace upon that? You bet. Not only did he die so that we wouldn't have to suffer, but then he continues to work with us every day. Grace upon grace. Yeah, you messed up today. But my son has forgiven you. Yeah, you messed up again. But my son has forgiven you. Sometimes we don't even think about that. I would hope that as Christians, every time that we mess up, it really does something to us. I mean, I hope that it grieves our heart. You know, God is such an awesome and a wonderful God who continues to show us his love, continues to show us his grace. He says, because we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, because we believe in the mission that he completed here on earth when he died on the cross, he communicates through that we can have full assurance that we are in right standing with him. But, Paul says this in Romans, that doesn't give us the right to continue to sin. It doesn't give us the right to continue to harbor darkness in our hearts. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. He has been made known to us. And we are supposed to be having this relationship with him. I know there are some people who we Christians who attend church regularly and we really try to, it's not just attending church regularly, it's really trying to incorporate and do all that Christ has commanded to us. We affectionately call some of you who come to church every 2 years CE Christians, Christmas and Easter Christians. Though I'm not a legalist, I firmly believe that Christ expects us to do more than just come to church a couple of times. He expects us to live our lives trying to copy everything that he does. He expects us to listen to what his word says and do it, obey his commands. Tonight, I really want to make sure that this message is heard by everyone here. Those who are faithful and try their hardest to live for Christ, and those who maybe believe they have a relationship with God and they come to church a couple times. And the truth is, all of us have darkness that needs to be dealt with. And that light continues to pierce through our souls and illuminate those things to us. That's the grace of God, grace upon grace. Like I said, I've just been reflecting over this last year, and there's areas I can identify in my life that I need to do some work on. I need God to do some work on. One of the things that I think is so great about Christmas is it's the week before the new year. And as we focus on this gift given to us, and I hope that we can't just, I hope we don't just look at the manger scene with the little baby Jesus there and just think, oh, how cute that is and how awesome that is, and not continue the thought to the crucifixion. As we think about those things, as we think about God sending him and then him growing and later dying on the cross for all of us, I hope that it does something within us, that it stirs something within us. And I hope that instead of being discouraged, because the enemy is going to be right there going, look at you, you stinking, rotten, dirty, whatever, you're never going to do it. Every year, he gets to this point every year, and every year you look back and you think, how awful am I? But he's right there just, trying to encourage us to turn away, to give up, lose hope. But now start thinking about the things that he has done, that the Holy Spirit has done throughout the year. And the different changes made. You see, God never promised that we would just be perfect the moment that we received Jesus Christ in our life. He never said that. He said we'd have a changed mind. That's repentance. That we'd have a changed mind. And that changed mind would lead to further growth, further transformation. So as we're sitting here thinking this evening about this last year and the different things that maybe we could do better on or we shouldn't have done, so forth, I would like us to reflect on the new year that is coming. Is there something that tonight we could maybe say to Jesus and with a grateful heart and the right attitude, say, you know what, I need to give this up this year. And I need to begin the new year on a good note. Is there something in your life that you could lay at the cross this evening? You might have noticed as you were coming in, there are some plastic crates underneath some of the chairs, and they have these ornaments in them. I'd like everybody to grab one of those ornaments. You have to pass them down the aisle, I mean down the row, and then go behind you. Not every row has them there. I'd like you to grab an ornament. Now, a few weeks ago, I preached, you know, preaching through Luke, and I preached about John the Baptist, and the message was, this is serious stuff. The point of the message was, this is serious stuff. So if this is not, don't be ashamed. If this is not something that you want to participate in, that's fine. That's totally fine. What we're gonna lead up to is taking communion this evening, but in that ornament is a piece of paper. You can open that up, and there's some pens to share. Just pass them down. What I would like you to do is to write on that piece of paper something that you feel like, you know, I need to just confess to you, Lord. I need to give it up, and I need you to help me in this new year. So if you can think of something there, if you can't think of something, I think something's wrong. Because like I said, we all struggle. We're all still growing in our relationship with Christ. And so just write that on there. Don't put your name on there. Just write whatever on there, and then put it back in that ornament. And what we're going to do is, tonight, this tree that we have here is going to represent the cross. The cross was made out of a tree, right? I know it's lit up, and I know there's a lot of decorations on it and stuff, but what we're going to do is as we go to take communion, I would like for you to stand up and go over to this tree and just put the ornament on the tree, as if you were leaving that part of you at the foot of Jesus' cross. And then just continue back in the corner over here. Excuse me. There's communion. And you just take communion right there. Maybe to make it easier and more sanitary, take the cup back with you, and you can just leave it on your chair. Somebody will pick that up. After you take communion, grab a candle. And we're going to have a candle lighting ceremony here at the end. But as I'm talking, if you're just thinking of something, write it down. Put it in that ornament. If I got the worship team, come back up, please. As you're thinking, as they're coming up, I'm going to say a prayer here. Father God, we're here tonight to celebrate the coming of your Son. Babies are born every day, all around the world. And though we believe each child is special, the birth of your Son was something great and unique and encouraging. We're here celebrating this special birth because it was the birth of God as a human being who is able to deal with our sin and the consequence of our sin, and through the giving of the Holy Spirit, you continue to work on us and transform us. Tonight, Lord, we've been thinking about some things about the last year that are just not pleasing to you. And in fact, they're kind of holding us back from really doing what you've called us to do. The enemy loves to have for us to have those vices, to slow us down, to discourage us, to distract us, even to destroy us. And I pray, Lord, that tonight we can just lay these things at your feet as we enter into a time of communion where we remember what you did on the cross for us. We've remembered what you did by giving this gift to the world. Now as Christians, we remember what you did for us on the cross. You died so that we would not have to suffer eternal punishment, so that we could be reconciled to the Father, have a right relationship with the Father, and that we could live our lives to glorify you. Help us to be serious about this, because this is serious business. As we lay these things at the foot of the cross, as we hang them on the tree, God, I just pray that this would be a real moment between us, between you and ourselves. That tonight we would leave here with a renewed hope, a renewed joy, encouraged, ready to take whatever is thrown at us. And most of all, that we are ready to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ was born, lived, died on the cross, raised from the grave, and ascended into heaven. We love you, Lord. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. There's not a whole lot of, not as many people here as could create traffic jams. So maybe just as you want, we're gonna play and sing and play O Holy Night. And as you feel led, just go up to the tree. Just go up to the tree and place it there. And then go back and take communion and take your candle back to your seat. And to make it easier, let's all stand.
Stars are brightly shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt His worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices.
tonight we light candles in remembrance of the light that entered through into the world that Christmas Eve morning, evening. May this light reflect the light that has pierced your heart and continues to pierce your heart. Let's start over here. We have candles here. And then we're just going to start passing this light from person to person. This also symbolizes the mission that we have as Christians to share the light of Christ, which is within us, to others. Amen. Service. It does. It reminds me of the person I used to be and the person I'm becoming. Notice I didn't say become, but becoming. We're each in a process of transformation. Every year, at the end of the year, it's just a great time to stop and reflect and think, okay, how can I do better? What can I do that is going to please God even more? What am I going to do then? It's going to enable me to just submit to Him and allow Him to work through me even more. So thank you for coming this evening. It's been a blessing to share this Christmas Eve with you.
just ask that you be safe. And hopefully tomorrow we'll see you again. Tomorrow's going to be a little different. We're going to have a little celebration going on. 9:30 is our service time. Love you and Merry Christmas. Thank you.